And we have sung here, this songwriter expresses it already in the first stanza. The matter is yours, Lord Jesus Christ, the matter by which we stand. And because it's your matter, it cannot perish. We know that when God has given us grace, or gives God's people grace to stand in His cause, or stand with His cause, we know that His will must also be done. It is not the will of the people that happens, not the will of the believers, but the will of Almighty God. And His cause, if it is His cause, then He is about His cause. Then you don't have to make efforts about it, and neither do I. And then you cannot interfere in the matter, and I may not interfere either. But there is one who decides. There is one who directs and guides everything. And sometimes we may think, how strange these ways are. Maybe even we as believers. And you know, I had to read the word from Daniel, chapter 10. Here Daniel had been in captivity, and maybe it might have seemed strange to him how the ways of God are actually, because we know he must have been in captivity for 68 years. But we might ask ourselves why, and why did God lead it that way? You know, to be in captivity, to be in tribulation, is not a good thing, because you are oppressed, you are not a free man, but you have to listen to those who have to rule over you. And here perhaps we should read the chapter. It's a bit too long for the introduction, but let me read it, because it's God's word. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the word was true and refers to great tribulation. But he paid close attention to the revelation and gave heed to the vision. Yes, perhaps if we stop a little bit here, then we could say, tribulation? There is already enough tribulation when you are in captivity. And here comes the angel of the Lord, and he does reveal something to him. Daniel pays very close attention to what he is told. But the angel, he doesn't reveal something encouraging to him, but he announces to them tribulation. Who wants to have tribulation? We all don't, do we? I certainly don't. We all want to walk in good ways. We all want to see good times. We all want to have the best. And I also think that Daniel must have been thinking about, when will the day of redemption come? When will the hour come? When we can be free? But here comes the angel and says, of great tribulation. But he paid close attention to the revelation, to what the angel said, and he paid attention to the vision. And do you know what happened next? It reminds me of last night. There is maybe a connection with last night, what our dear brother already told us. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of upas. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord. For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Up to here, this holy and precious word of God. We wonder and may ask ourselves, a man, a beloved man, in the eyes of God, twice this expression comes out in this word. He must go into captivity, and there is no help here yet. But do you know, he prayed and was grieved in every way. First, perhaps, at what happened to them, and secondly, at what had been revealed to him by God. For we know the revelation must have been very terrible, because he got to see that in such a way which reaches into the end times. And we know that terrible things will have been revealed to him. And you can imagine that he ran out of breath, and that his strength was gone, and that he had no more words to speak. This is how it may have been, and this is how it is written that it was. Brothers and sisters, and even if we read that the men who were with him didn't see anything, but they noticed that something was present. They felt the Holy Spirit was present. And what is written? They fled because they could not bear it. And that also reminds us of what happened to Paul. He alone was able to perceive what God was speaking. The others stood by. They could see nothing and hear nothing. But here is the same thing. Here God revealed himself to his servant and prophet and told him what was going to happen. You know, the wonderful thing to me about this whole story is that God didn't do what a Daniel might have wanted, but he revealed God's plan to him. Not what a man might wish, but the cause of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God was revealed to him. Not his will, what perhaps he would have wished, was expressed. And then the second thing, not signs and wonders outwardly, but a comfort was given him in captivity. A comfort. An exhortation is too much to say, but we might call it an encouragement, an assurance. And he was told by God, your prayers are heard. Are heard. But not in the way you might think. But here is God's plan, so you know how it's going to come. And I think then he lost his breath. Then all his own imagination stayed away. And he will have fallen completely and utterly into the hand of the living God. There was no other way. You know, the cause of God, when we are put to it, then there's no other way. We have to say again and again, Lord, your will be done. Whether I understand it or whether I don't understand it, thy will be done. Brothers and sisters, I was thinking about last night, you know, may the faithful God also accomplish in our midst what he has set out to do. Even though it may not suit you and me, even if we would like to see it differently, but you know, Brother Frank already said it yesterday, maybe we have to go through this trial. Also this beloved man, Daniel, thou much beloved man, you must go through such a trial. Much beloved man, thou must go into captivity. Had God no other choice? Was there nothing else? Brothers and sisters, he stood in the cause of God. He had to go through thick and through thin. That is the way on this earth destined for the people of God. And we see it everywhere. We could look it up with a Moses. It didn't go the way Moses wanted it to go. It didn't go the way the people wanted it either. It went the way God wanted it to go. Dear brothers and sisters, the words of God are so wonderful, so true. But do you know, if only God would give grace that in all things, whatever way it comes, that we could put our hope only in him. Here, this man has come into such affliction, into such sorrow. Outwardly, he has given up everything. He has wrapped himself in mourning garments and has drunk no wine, eaten no meat. He kept away from everything. And then suddenly, God appeared to him for the second time and spoke to him again and again what he was going to do. Oh, how wonderful! Brothers and sisters, may it be the same with us. But I think we are still human and we still have our own thoughts and think it should be this way or it should be like this. And we think this and that. But you know, all our opinions we can bury and they have to be buried. Only his will has to be done. Oh, you know, every man has opinions. How many are there today? And everybody has a different opinion. Every fellowship, every church, every party, down to the smallest. And even within a family, one has this opinion, the other that. But it's not about opinions. It's about the will of God, the plan of God. And we know, also in these days, that plan will be fulfilled. And you know, Daniel couldn't change the whole thing. 68 years he had to endure. He had to go through it, through the time that God ordained. Isn't that strange? But that's the way God has been. And then God has moved on. We don't know how long we have to walk like that. But my desire is that his word would want to be in us, that he would want to comfort us, even this morning, and perhaps give us an encouragement. Maybe we are waiting for great things to happen. But God speaks in the way he wants. And like here with Daniel, and he said, your prayer is answered. Be confident. Be of good cheer and go forward. Keep and heed the word that I have given thee. That was given to him. Is that enough for us this morning? it must be enough for us. If God has given us the word, it must be enough for us. And we should thank God for it. Let us do it by rising up and worshiping Him. Lord, we thank You that we may once again be gathered here in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for Your precious and holy word. We thank You, faithful God, that even in our days, You speak to us, Lord, in a way that is pleasing to You. And also in our days, Lord, You will bring Your course, Lord, to completion. Glory to Your wonderful name. Continue to bless us now, Lord, and bless my brothers. Anoint them with Your good Holy Spirit, Lord. Anoint us all, Lord. Give us open eyes. Give us open hearts and an open understanding, Lord, to absorb everything, Lord, that we take everything to heart and take heed to Your word, Lord, as Daniel had done. He heeded all the words that You spoke to him. Lord, let us heed all the words You speak to us today, tomorrow, and always. Lord, bless us is my fervent prayer and desire. Take everything out of the way that stands in Your way, Lord. I ask it in Your wonderful Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have heard so much already that we could actually worship and give thanks to the Lord. I think we have all understood what it is all about, namely that it's God's business. And when we take the examples of the scripture like this, compare them, delve into them, nothing new happens under the sun. On the contrary, it repeats itself in every way. I was glad this morning when I came in to hear from the mouth of Brother Novak what God had done for their child. I don't see him at the moment. He's here. And you all probably know the case that was only treated by the doctors with a shake of the head. And just now he told me, the doctors are baffled, wondering if the X-rays had even shown correctly, because there is nothing left of what once was. God has once again healed completely. And this not for my sake and for our sake, but for His sake, for His word's sake. God is faithful. He stands by His word. We can rely on that. And it's not the only testimony, but when we are thus in contact with those who have their petitions, their illnesses, their needs brought before the face of God, then we find again and again that God hears and that He answers, that He saves and that He heals and that He blesses. We hold on to that. I myself was already blessed by all that we have already heard. I wish Brother Rus had continued, whether introduction, whether not introduction, who cares? We really don't want a form or a norm here. We want God to come to His right. There are enough forms and norms everywhere. And when the Spirit of God descends, whether intro or outro, doesn't matter. Whether the prayer is at the beginning, or at the end, or in the middle, who cares? When the Spirit of God is at work, We don't want to stand in the way of this working of the Spirit. The thought came to me that the prophets of old saw in visions God's plan of salvation and the things that would take place. And the thought came to me that you and I don't need to see a vision pertaining these things. They have already been shown. They have been seen. What you and I still need to see is the revelation of what has been shown to them. And then we are helped. Then we have the insight into what has been revealed to them. That is the basic idea of divine revelation. Not that every single believer now sees repeatedly and repeatedly what these prophets or men of God saw, but that through the Spirit, the meaning and significance of the thing they saw is revealed to us. And so we get the connection to what God showed them many, many years ago. And we are in the midst of the fulfillment of Scripture, in the midst of what they saw back then. I come back to Daniel, but I also had to think of the two other prophets, Jeremiah and also Ezekiel. Ezekiel was on earth at the same time, and he also said something right in the first chapter, in the first verse. It says here in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." Here the word divine is emphasized. I don't know why. I didn't write it. But it's written that way. And the wonderful thing is, the man knows month, he knows the day, he knows the whole context. Why? He was there when it happened. But it was at the time when the people of Israel were in exile. They were led away. And it says here, "Then the heavens opened, and I saw divine visions." That's actually the main point I'm concerned with at the moment. He saw divine visions. A divine vision reveals the will of God. That which God, I would like to use the human word once, what God imagines to be carried out, that He reveals through divine visions. When people sometimes see visions, then they see what they would like to see carried out. And then, according to their imagination, they see what they have in mind. And you may not believe it, but I will read it to you in a moment. But Brother Rus emphasized that it is not our will, not the will of the prophets or the will of the people, but the will of God that should and must be done. And where God can really reveal His will, it will be done by grace. This man had no agenda at all. He had no program to present to the people. He waited until the heavens opened, and until he saw divine visions, when the heavens do not open, then we see what we think we see. But when the heavens open, we see what God wants to reveal and show us from heaven. We all may want to help God, and we need God to help us. We all want to do this and that in the work of God. Not only do I find myself doing this, but I'm sure many others do. And if we are quite honest, there is no believer who has set his heart on the cause of God, who does not want God to do something. On the contrary, we all want God to do something, and that is our desire day and night. But then it is a matter of waiting until he does it, and not trying in the meantime to do what God alone is able to do. Here we are told, "Then the heavens were opened, and I saw divine visions." The same prophet has to say some things here, in some chapters, that may not have been easy for him, especially in chapter 13. There he says, "Thus saith the Lord God," verse 3, "Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets, that follow their own spirit, and have seen nothing, they give way to their own spirit, and to what they have not seen at all. They give in, but they do not admit. If they would admit, then the matter would be set right very quickly. But that's the big trouble. Giving in is easy, but if one has given in to one's own spirit, to then admit that, that would involve self-denial. And that would mean giving oneself away to death. But that is not so easy. But God's word says it here. Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, who cannot wait until heaven opens and divine visions and revelations come, but who give in to their own spirit and give free rein to the thoughts of their heart. After giving in, must come admitting, but admitting can only come when one has realized it. And then, when the prophet elaborates in verse 6, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, "Thus saith the Lord," although the Lord has not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm their word. We can wait 1,000 years for God to make our saying come true, and we wait in vain. God will only make his word come true, not yours and not mine, but his word he will make come true. For his word alone are Thus Saith the Lord. But here, it's their word. That's how it says here. And they are waiting for God to make them come through. God does not take responsibility for what you, I, or anyone else says. God has taken responsibility solely for what He has said. He has no further obligation. And as surely as He has revealed His word and also transfigured it in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, so surely He will give grace that we, like the people of Israel at that time, will be brought out of this emergency situation. And you know, it was exactly the same with the prophet Jeremiah. And there came a prophet and prophesied. And Jeremiah says, yes, let it be so. But then, afterwards he says, God has revealed to me only when a full 70 years will be over, will God turn to His people. And then He will again take their fate into His hands and bring them back. Not what people have said according to their own inspiration, but what God Himself has spoken through His Spirit. For this He has taken responsibility for it. But now, the one is there as well as the other. Both prophets, both visions, both revelations, both prophecies. And then the question arises, who is still to distinguish? How can we distinguish? The Lord has not left us in the dark about this either. He already says in Deuteronomy, if a prophet is among you and he announces something and it happens, then I, the Lord, have spoken through him. If he announces something and it does not happen, do not be afraid of him, for he has spoken in presumption. God has not left us in the dark, and we have arrived at the time when we must fulfill our debt to God's people and bring clarity to everything for the sake of His name and for the sake of His word. Now, not we, pardon this statement now, but God alone can bring clarity into everything. For we are all only human and depend on the grace of God day by day and every hour anew. And the same thing can happen to each one of us, and no one is better than the other. But there is a great desire in us, like in the prophet Daniel. One would like to put on robes of mourning and walk around in sackcloth and ashes. If one knew that God could be moved by this to help and bless His people. But He looks at our heart. It is not the outside, but the inside that God looks at. when the prophet says here, namely in verse 7, chapter 13, verse 7, Ezekiel, "Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. This I is the Lord." And he says, "Though I had not spoken." This is the big trouble. And one day I will call all brethren together, and I shall bring everything on the table to get rid of it from my heart. And then may the responsibility be on all who have heard it and will hear it. It must be said once to bring light into the darkness and clarity into all obscurities. For truly God has spoken, and what he has spoken comes to pass. But nothing else, neither what I nor anyone else may have said, God is not responsible for that. Then he goes on to say in verse 8, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God." It is quite a serious word, and we know that the Lord has also ordained the gifts of the Spirit for the church to be built up. But that is also the limit. That is the limit. The gifts of the Spirit are there to build up the church. The direction is given by the word that God reveals. And then we will walk a path that is passable, a path where God can bless, a way where he can bear witness. And as for me, I can't help but thank God for all that he has done through all these years. It is too much, because God has done miracles on thousands and thousands in spirit, soul and body. And we have not told stories nor interpreted parables. We have received the word of our God and passed it on for salvation and blessing to all who were willing to hear. And this word will not return void. It will accomplish what God has sent it to do. Thinking of the people of Israel and their captivity, Daniel, referring twice to Moses, he says it and pronounces it, that all that is already written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has come upon us. Chapter 9 in the prophet Daniel, verse 11, and then also in verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. If we look at the history of the people of Israel, God had foretold the way through Moses and also the time in which we live. The time or the course of the New Testament church was also foretold as it would be in the last days. And if a prophet were to stand in our midst today, he would say, the apostles and the Lord have already foretold all this that would happen in the last days. And we believe it with all our hearts. Here in Daniel, we read along in chapter 10, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. This is God speaking through a servant and prophet. For this is what God spoke when he had Miriam and Aaron come to the most holy place. He said, when there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to him by visions and speak to him in dreams. But it is not so with my servant Moses, who is entrusted with all my house. And we notice in Hebrews, we are told, as Moses was faithful in the house of God, so Christ, as Son, is faithful in his house, and his house are we, as believers, as people who desire to follow the Lord and who have no other longing or desire. Here we are told, but he took careful heed to the revelation and gave heed to the vision. Even when you see a vision, you can still gather some things from it if you want to understand it with your own mind. And I ask you today, what would Peter have done with the vision when the linen cloth came down from heaven and was spread out before him, and he saw all the crawling animals in it? He could have said, my God, what is going on here? Get away from me. I can't do anything with this. This is not something that could come from heaven. God spoke in simplicity and said the words, do not consider unclean what I have cleansed. And if we were like a worm crawling on this earth, when God has redeemed us, then we have been made sons and daughters of God. And then we are cleansed and sanctified in the blood of the Lamb that flowed on the cross of Calvary. That is the redemption we believe in. Here it is written, pay close attention to the revelation and give heed to the vision. That is what the prophets had to pay attention to. And I want to remind you here of the one vision of Brother Branham. And he actually puzzled over it. And he said, I don't know if it means my death. I don't know if I'm going to be shot. I don't know if I will die in an accident. But something will happen. Sometimes visions are so crystal clear that they are revelation in themselves and need no interpretation or explanation or revelation. Sometimes God speaks in riddles, in pictures, in examples, which then still need to be revealed by the Spirit. But one thing we want in the presence of God in this serious end time, we want to pay close attention to what He has revealed, to what He has spoken, in order to understand it correctly, as God would have it understood. Here we have already had the several scriptures emphasized by the brethren. It actually reminds us of our transfigured Lord and Savior, who appeared to Saul on the way to Damascus, and to John on the Isle of Patmos. And the Lord said, Peace be with you. Or, like here, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. On the same day that Daniel began to pray, his prayer was answered, and yet he had to wait 21 days for this divine information to come to him, until the angel could come to him to tell him all this. Who are we to search out the ways of God? Who are we to want to be His counselors? His ways are much higher than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. Then it says here in verse 14, Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Why did Daniel have these things revealed to him even then? That they are written down for us as a testimony in the Holy Scriptures, that we have the word of prophecy in this time, and it shines after it was revealed like a bright light in a dark place. And if Peter was able to cry out in the Spirit even then, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What would he say today? Today he would say, Brothers and sisters, what the Holy Spirit inspired to me back then is being fulfilled before your eyes today. How wonderful is God's holy word! He has spoken, and his people will receive and accept it, and also understand it. Then it says here, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake. Ah, may the Lord come to us where the word of prophecy is revealed, and touch our lips and touch our hearts, that we might speak in a worthy manner what he has revealed to us. And I tell you, when he has truly touched your lips and mine, then your lips and mine will speak of what he has spoken, and we will know our responsibility before him and know what we owe him. None of these prophets or men of God whose lips were touched by the Lord spoke anything, but they were men of God, driven by the Holy Spirit, and proclaimed God's word in a right way. We can say 100 times, the Lord has touched my lips, and then that which gushes out will bear witness to who really touched my lips or yours. There, where God touches our lips, there will arise from our heart gratitude to him, and we will praise his name and give him the glory for it. Daniel says, my Lord, I am not worthy that such a high Lord should speak to me. Yes, the Lord of Lords has spoken to him, and I dare to say, none other than the Lord himself has spoken to us in this generation. If we only hear a Paul or a Peter and do not hear the Lord speak through them, we have heard in vain. And if all we say in these days is, that's what Brother Branham said, then we have not heard rightly. God has always spoken through human lips. And we know, when he called Moses, he said, Lord, I cannot speak. Take somebody else. And the Lord says, is it not I that make man to speak or to be dumb? Have I not created him? And he said, take Aaron and go forth, both of you, and carry out the commission. Then he who looked like a man touched me again and gave me new strength. May he who like a son of man walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, touch you and me anew, and revive and raise us up by grace. For he has spoken, no one can pass by that. And it says here, and gave me new strength. Where the Lord speaks, where he touches your lips and mine, he will give new power. Power to believe, resurrection power, spirit power, and will reveal the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Fear not, O man greatly beloved. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong, And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Do you feel strengthened this morning? Dear brother and dear sister, there is strength in the words of God. There is power in the words of God. Where the Lord speaks, there we are lifted up. There we are strengthened. There we are blessed to continue to follow Him in a better way. I was strengthened, and I said, let my Lord speak, for Thou hast strengthened me. Having already been strengthened, having already been spoken to by the Lord, he bore new desire and wanted the Lord to continue speaking to him. This is also your desire and mine. When God has spoken to you and to me, and we have been strengthened, that he will continue to speak to us. And I can say it in faith. He will continue to speak to us. He will continue to walk with us. He will bring us to the goal, because that is what he has promised in his word, and his word is eternal truth. To him be thanksgiving and worship, that he has not only spoken to the prophets as individuals, but through his word to the entire church, and thereby to all of us. Now, only the one exhortation applies. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. What people say, everyone can hear right and left. But what the Spirit reveals, for that our ears must be opened by God. And therefore, it is written, not only he who has ears, but he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May God bless us all from the riches of his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise now and give him glory and thanks. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have spoken to us in this morning hour. You have comforted us too, Lord, and have set our eyes on your word to know what we have to do, O Lord. And we are so grateful, Lord, that you instruct us by your word, Lord. And Lord, we look to your word alone, Lord, for your word is unmistakable. It endures, Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your words remain. Hallelujah. And so we are glad and thankful, Lord, that we may stand upon your word and wait upon you, Lord. And Lord, we are sometimes afraid, O Savior, but we look to you, Lord, and we know it's not our business where we stand. It's your cause, O God, Lord, and you will bring your cause to a wonderful end. Thanks be to you for it, and worship. Lord, we do not go from this place discouraged, but we go from here strengthened, hallelujah, knowing, Lord, that you will be with us, Lord, with a weak people, with a suppressed people, with a people scorned, but Lord, you will be with your own, hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful name. Though enemies stand around us, though they revile us, though they mock us, though they find fault with this and that, but Lord, we know in whom we believe. We know who has redeemed us. Hallelujah. We know, Lord, to whom we stand, hallelujah, and who stands with us. Glory to your holy name. And so, Lord, we are thankful for your strength, for your help this morning, Lord. Lord, when we come together, we don't know what to say, Lord. You know my heart, Lord, how I don't know what to read. And sometimes, Lord, I could despair. But faithful God, thou hast been faithful and hast given thy word. And for that be glory and praise and thanksgiving brought to thee. Hallelujah to your name. Thou wilt continue to be with us. Glory to you, the Lamb. O Lord, I cannot but testify that your presence is here. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. To you alone be the glory in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you also for the meetings ahead of us in Nuremberg, in Stuttgart, O Heilbronn, Lord, O God, in Salzburg, in Zurich, O Lord. We lay everything before you, even our precious brother. May you touch him, Lord. Lord, it must be you who touches. We can do nothing, but you have touched your servant. You have touched many others, Lord. All of them you touched, Lord. And then, Lord, in your power, they were able to bring your word to the people and tell them your counsel. Lord, may it be so. I ask it in your name for my dear and beloved brother. Savior, strengthen him in spirit, soul, and body. And I pray for his family, Lord. I pray for his home, Lord. I pray for us all. O God, help us all. Help our children. Help our relatives. Be merciful to us all. Lord, we leave everything to you and commit ourselves to you. Praise be to you. We also want to lay before you once more those who are sick, who lay in hospitals, O Lord, and also all who are united with us. In this morning hour, we remember all before you, O Lord, and lay them before you. Bless all, Lord, and strengthen all, is our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.